Okay, great. All right, good evening. Tonight's the regular scheduled meeting for the Morro Bay Planning Commission. We're at the Veterans Memorial Building, 209 Surf Street. If you've got nothing better to do, come on down and join us. We are missing one of our members tonight, Joseph, but we have four other commissioners here, so we have a quorum, and so I'll call the meeting to order. At this time, could we observe a moment of silence? All right, thank you. Please stand, face the flag, and begin the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin. Okay. Do we have any announcements anybody, commissioners, would like to make? All right. At this time, we open the floor up for public comment period. This is for items that typically are not on the agenda and the consent calendar. If anybody has an issue, please come forward, state your name.
I'm Nancy Bast. I'm a resident, and I came tonight even though I didn't have to, because I wanted to thank each of you on the commission for that great discussion about the removal of the trees on Main Street at the month-ago meeting, and how it evolved into a marvelous discussion in which you allowed us 30 days to try to find an equitable solution. And I think that's very, very admirable. I want to thank also Ms. Hansen and Mr. Livick for heeding the arborist's report that we turned in that talked about those trees and how they found a way to keep them. It's good for the community and good for us, and I hope the homeowners at the place down there. I also want to ask you to, if you could possibly agendize an item for the future to discuss using administrative permits. I think it cuts out the residents from knowing what's going on in their community and also having a voice in how it looks and how it feels. And I've noticed, too, that I think you are underutilized because, as tonight, you have just one item on your agenda. And sometimes I've seen that you go home not too long after 7 o'clock, and sometimes you don't even have a meeting because there isn't an item. I think that when administrative permits are giving, it cuts out the voice of the people unless they're wealthy enough to pay to have their say. And as I feel, that discussion we had last month was wonderful. It got us all talking, and I think that's what should happen with so many more of the issues that come before you that are on appeal. And I think having to pay to have that discussion with you, after all, you are kind of the responsible parties. I think that if you agendized a discussion, a public discussion on what items can can get an administrative appeal, that the community would be happier. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for your comments.
Betty Winholtz, I too would ask for an agenda item in light of our last hearing. That's enough.
Yeah, you're done.
In more ways than one. So my point would be that I think our tree ordinance needs to be looked at, and I think you're the body to do that. Because this is not the first time Ms. Bass and I have had to do an appeal, and then it gets reversed once we get a second opinion. And so it seems to me that if you all could do that or get a subcommittee that would look at that and say what would be the equitable way to deal with public trees and amend our ordinance so it matches that, I think that that would be real important because it is something that hits all of us in our neighborhoods, at least in South Morro Bay. Not so many trees in North Morro Bay. And I would echo what Ms. Bass said, and we appreciate the HOA coming to the table and honoring the fact that these are public trees, not their trees belonging to the HOA, and that they got that and that they're in good shape. And I don't know that you got the report. I'm thinking maybe you didn't get the arborist report. I'll send it to you so you can see what he said and why it became obvious to reverse the decision.
Great.
Thank
you. Thank you for your comment. Anybody else like to speak on? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment. And then, Scott, a couple of issues that were addressed. Do you have anything to say on them?
You mean specifically about
agendizing the admin permits or taking a look at it?
And that would be something that would be the directive coming from City Council. I mean, okay. I would suggest that Ms. Bass and Ms. Winholtz bring the issue up at our next council meeting, and council gives us the direction to run this through the Planning Commission, then I'm happy to do it. Obviously, the Planning Commission has to have conversations on this topic as, mm-hmm. as part of the zoning code portion of the update of our general plan, local coastal program, and zoning code. And really, what we're trying to do is go in the other direction and have fewer public hearings because we get quite a backlog as a result of the number of items that go to Planning Commission. And so, we made some changes to the requirements that. And you'll recall this is that we have a trigger at 25%, addition of 25% to a non-conforming structure. That, and you go above that, then you have to go to Planning Commission. We up that to 50% as an example of one of the things to reduce the number of items that come before you for small. I mean, some of those things are pretty small additions. They're adding a bathroom or something, and then you're weighing in on it like this is a bathroom on a single-story addition. Why are we looking at this? Just to sort of.
And
we
then there's
a can know your memory on that. So so we have had conversations on this in the past, quite a few actually, and again, in regards to the zoning code update. But again, I think if Ms. Winholtz and Ms. Bass want to bring that up during public comment at the council meeting, that would be appropriate. So.
Yeah, I could see it being more appropriate on a where public right-of-way and where there's more of a public interest than in a standard remodel in our and what we usually handle in the zoning, but this would also be handled in a in more of a when we have our design guidelines for both our streets and public spaces and our commercial areas if we ever get to that.
Yeah, that does help out with all of those types of things. I do concur with both Ms. Winholtz and Ms. Bass that the solution that came out of the for the tree issue on that property, it's not coming back before you. Because we were able to reach resolution so that we didn't need to take out the trees. And so the Public Works Department, and maybe Rob wants to speak to that more, but they did provide a third arborist report on that that made some suggestions of things we might be able to do to preserve the trees. And so the Public Works Department's going down that road to have the trees trimmed to reduce the weight on top of them to reduce the likelihood that they would fail. So that's the direction that we're going to see if we can't preserve the trees, which I think is a good thing and a positive outcome through public engagement. So I agree with them on that as well, that was a good outcome. I don't know if Rob has anything that wants to add to that.
No, I think this the third arborist report that we received was more direct to the subject at hand and gave appropriate techniques to actually preserve those trees for their life. So as they noted, that when it gets really windy, trees will fall. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there's nothing we can do to prevent that, but there are things that we can do to mitigate the branch loss and the leaning of the trees by taking some of the weight off of them. They believe the girdling has kind of resolved itself by the roots breaking through that root barrier after 20 or so years in the ground. And they gave some recommendations on a couple of other trees that we might want to look at in the future, the two pine trees.
Do you think that we might want to move towards having a city list of arborists that the city's worked with that they could recommend when we have to have, special reports or anything? Or is that something beyond, would that be restricting commerce?
I don't know that when the city contracts for an arborist, typically we put that, get quotes from various arborists. I guess what I would like to see is they seem to be a rarity these days, but there used to be a kind of a branch, forgive the pun, a consulting arborist. So they didn't do any trimming, but they would consult with you on arboriculture techniques. They didn't really have a dog in the fight on the work that would be accomplished. When I was at the City of San Luis, before they got an in-house person, they contracted with a gentleman that had been in the county for many years and did that work. But we've gone out to RFP a couple of times, and the most of the companies with arborists also are in the tree trimming or removal business also.
So what about some of the societies and some of the organizations such as the Native Tree Societies and the Native, Arborist Societies that are more pro-tree than a tree trimmer? Do they have any professional staff that could be consultants?
Not that I know of. Okay. I don't know if we would get a volunteer, a club, basically. So the arborists that work for tree trimming companies, a lot of them are certified by the International Society of Arboriculture. So they carry that ISA certification. We look for those, even though the code doesn't explicitly require it to be a certified arborist. I think it talks about a contractor with experience in trimming trees is what we require.
Okay. Well, maybe we should look, if somebody looks like a hammer, if somebody's a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So maybe we should, I'm glad that this situation resolved itself the way it did. So does anybody else have any comments or questions?
I just wanted to ask Scott, we do have in the new draft that the administrative permits still get noticed, so things still get on-site notification, so the immediate neighbors are aware something may be going up.
Yeah, correct. I mean, we still do the same thing with the bright yellow signs, and our current code talks about noticing at 300 feet. We've expanded that to 5. That's memorialized in the draft code as well. So, because our current code right now, even though we go to 5, it says 3 in it. And even less for some types of permits, like 100 for some. But okay. We do 500 for everything pretty much.
Okay.
I do realize it's a city council function, but maybe we could agendize a discussion to whereby we could recommend to the city council that if an appeal is upheld or otherwise brought to resolution, maybe they get their money back. So that might be something we can at least recommend. I realize we wouldn't have the opportunity.
That's the way the current fee schedule works.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah.
You got it. Okay, anything else? All right, thank you. Thanks for your comments this evening. We have no presentations. We have a consent calendar with 3 items on it. Does anybody wish to pull any of the items?
Not that. I guess I'm going to pull the. I left my other computer at home, so. But one of the sets of minutes, not that I like my name in the minutes, but when I was technically chairing, still showed Jerry as chairing the meeting during that point. And I think it's the
that was the last meeting, and we don't have the minutes. For
we don't. I thought I saw
it. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, we have the 3rd and the 20th of August and the 3rd of September.
No, it's on B1 on the October 1st minutes. Just because after that, even though it's referring to other things, it says Chairman Luhr recused himself, and then in the next two paragraphs down, Chairman Luhr opened the public comment period.
We'll fix that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So do we have a motion with the amended minutes?
For the September 3rd minutes.
I'll make a motion that we accept the amended minutes as recommended by Chairman Lucas.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nope. Motion passes 4-0. Okay, moving on to public hearings. This is, we'll move on to item B1. This is case number ABN 19-001, and this is a site location at 197 Panay Street. Do we have a staff report on this?
We do.
Okay.
Rob Leivick, Public Works Director. And just a slight correction, the agenda says 197. It's actually at 196 Panay in the staff report, and that's where it is located. This item comes to you as a result of your action taken at the September 17th meeting where the Planning Commission approved the CUP and CDP for the construction of a addition and accessory dwelling unit at this site located at 196 Panay Street in Morro Bay. The approval conditioned the project to process the abandonment of these unused public service easements to facilitate the construction of the addition. The California Streets and Highways Code sets up the procedures for the abandonment of public streets and easements. Also, abandonments are in the code are referred to as vacations. So we're vacating, the public is vacating the use of that area. The applicant has requested an abandonment of approximately 1,400 square feet of public service easement that has never been used for its intended purpose. And again, this will facilitate their development of the site. The findings that need to be made are those that that they're no longer needed for the public use, and there is a public benefit in vacating those easements, and the public benefit is allowing the property to develop to its fullest extent and the allowing the construction of an ADU, potentially providing additional affordable housing. With that, this proposed abandonment can be found consistent with the California Streets and Highways Code and the city's general plan. And this project is exempt from CEQA, and we recommend that the Planning Commission make a recommendation to the council to pursue the abandonment of these public service agreements. That concludes my staff report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions?
These are totally hypothetical, but There's nothing in Route 1 in terms of underground utilities, underground electric, fiber optic cable, that there's any use for the people to the west from this abandonment. In other words, there's nobody really using anything from Route 1 moving down into the beach block at this point. I was trying to think of, does Caltrans have to talk about this is okay with them because it is an easement that somebody might have, in theory, thought might be available at some point?
So these easements were established in the 20s, and they put either a 2.5-foot or a 5-foot easement on every side and front and back line of every parcel out there. Some of them were used, and some of them were not used. It was just a shotgun or pure arch used at the time to establish where easements may be needed. I can't see Caltrans needing a longitudinal easement outside of their own right-of-way.
They don't have anything that small that fits in an easement.
No, these easements are... we would never actually ask for a dedication of a 2.5-foot wide easement these days. You can't get a piece of equipment in there to actually work. Now there is a sewer line that exists on the westerly side of the property that stubs in, and we will not abandon that portion of the easement. But the remaining easements on the parcel appear to serve no useful purpose. We have correspondence from the other affected utility companies that they have no utilities in those easements either.
Yeah, it only comes from my thinking with all the things we've had about the nature of the potential de-electrification or degasification and maybe increase in electrical capacity and the fires that come from the overhead electric. If there's any, not in this particular case, but I think we should be thinking about, is there any kind of future use? We don't do storm sewers in this area through the easements, right? They're handled through the streets.
Typically in the streets, there's a very limited amount of storm sewers in this neighborhood. Easements aren't really wide enough to facilitate construction of a public storm sewer.
So we've basically got a problem with any future utilities based on the nature of the easements that were established when the plot plan came through in the 20s.
Yeah, ideally these infrastructure would have been constructed out in the street rather than in the side yard easements areas, but it was probably cheaper and easier to build rather than putting them out in the street.
In general, that's a comment.
Okay, any other questions? Okay. We'll open this up for public comment if the applicant would like to speak.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, I'm Leah with MBS Land Surveys, and we agree with staff. These easements were established in 1927 that went across where the highway is now, and they are not used, and we want to have the landowners have the ability to construct over the easements, and this is the procedure for doing it.
Great, great. Thank you. Anybody else like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back up to the commission. Do we have any ex parte communication on this? Okay, just for the record. Okay, questions or comments, or is it wide open now?
I just want to say, I think as we get more and more issues with trying to solve our housing crises, I think any things that we can look at to returning things back into the public or private sphere for, you know, creative use like this parcel was. This was an undersized parcel we allowed to be combined, and I think they came up with a really unique, great solution for a problem site in our town that will have more capacity to have people live here now and in a wonderful way. So I'm all for it. I just remember a couple years ago, I don't know if you remember, Rob, I think you were here with, there was one down in the south part of town that we abandoned a portion of the street right of way so somebody could have side yard easements that change things around. We actually kind of abandoned part of a street that was under minor use.
Down there by Palm. Walnut. And
I think so.
Palm Street.
On Palm
I think
Street,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I like the idea of, I don't want to say lososatize our streets, structure, but I do think there's something about some of these situations that this is actually a good thing.
Anybody else? Jesse?
Yeah, I'll say a couple things. I agree. I think that where construction is and today in trenchless technology and things like that, I think that there's absolutely no qualms in giving this up. I think a lot of things are going to be wireless. A lot of things are going to be trenchless. A lot of things are the times have just changed. Or I think this is a good thing for the housing needs of our community. So,
okay. Yeah, the only thing I'd say is, once again, I wish we had a path for undergrounding utilities that communities could band together in, sections and come together and work with PG&E and work with the utilities so that we could get the city could basically act as a concierge or something to get some of these utilities underground. For one thing, it would just, would talk about, making the communities better, and also, much more resilient in the coming climate change. All right, do we have a motion then?
I will move to approve resolution number 25-19, determining the proposed utility easements abandonment located upon the property at 196 Panay Street being consistent with the Morro Bay General Plan.
Second?
I'll second.
And recommending council approval of the abandonment?
Sure, and recommending council approval of the abandonment.
Thank you.
Okay, second approve? Okay, concur. Okay, any discussion? Okay, could you call the question, please?
Commissioner Barone?
Aye.
Commissioner Lucas?
Aye.
Commissioner Stewart?
Aye.
Chair Lewer?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0-1.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. Okay, new business, unless we're going to agendize an item like we had in public comment. I don't see any unfinished business.
I just want to ask, we are getting a draft at some point that the tree ordinance is referenced in that, or is it included in that? Was it subsumed into the general plan somehow?
No, the tree ordinance is chapter 12.
Okay, so we'll see it again anyway. At some point.
Well, it won't be part of the update because it's in Chapter 12 of the Municipal Code. So it's not part of the Zoning Code, and it's not part of the General Plan LCP.
Okay. When we get the General Plan done, I think it would be a good thing to think about that coming back once we have the larger picture in place. But that's just a personal...
Fair enough.
Yeah. But we should be handling street trees and in the design guidelines for... the commercial design guidelines for the zoning and the update.
I mean, we have tree lists right now currently that the city adheres to for trees that are in the public right of way. So we do that.
Okay. Okay. Planning commissioner comments and future agenda items.
I have a question for staff.
Sure.
I'm not sure if you read the article in the Cal Coast News about the advertisement, the off-site advertisement for the cannabis, and I'm not sure if you were able to address that with the other jurisdiction that possibly has a.
It's a little unclear to me. I know the law has changed a little bit on this related to advertising along highways. And originally, when they implemented restrictions for cannabis businesses advertising along highways, they prohibited them. And then I believe they changed the law a little while ago just to prohibit them within 15 miles of a border state. So I don't exactly know what's going on. It is in the city of San Luis's jurisdiction, so I guess they're looking into it. I don't know much beyond that from our side of things. I haven't heard anything back from either the city attorney's office or from the city of San Luis about what they're doing with it. So, okay.
There's also one in the county. There's up 41. That's the one I was talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Paper. I didn't realize it was one up 41.
I saw that the other day, too. I think it just went up.
Well, and I was just referring to the paper. I mean, because, I mean, people watch this hearing or this and
so that would be jurisdiction in the county. So I don't know. I'm not sure how accurate the article was. I know there's differing limitations to them. I don't know anything. I don't know much beyond that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there is a billboard, one of the small billboards on 41. And then there's also, I saw one going south out of San Luis about a month ago. I don't know if it's still there, advertising for the one in Pismo.
And I know we can't talk about this too much without having an agenda item, but what could we do or what could we recommend to the city council to act in some way when this isn't happening within our jurisdiction?
Yeah, I mean, we have no jurisdiction there. It would have had to have been put into their permitting process or something like that. We've issued the two commercial cannabis permits. We just issued them. I think we've gotten one back signed and are waiting to get the other one back signed. And then we're working on the community benefits agreement that goes along with them. So.
Could we possibly agendize a discussion where we talked about it, maybe after you had a chance to talk to the city attorney and see if maybe we can agendize a recommendation that we initialize some sort of code enforcement case with the jurisdictions, with the agencies that do have jurisdiction in those?
I'll certainly give you a report back at our next planning commission.
Okay.
Where are we at? This is, I mean, just recently came up, and I did have a conversation with the city manager about it. He was talking with the city manager in San Luis. I'm not sure where they came out on that. You know, this is related to the one, you know, for Perfect Union that points to Morro Bay. That's on Highway 101, so I wasn't aware that there was one also on 41, so to look into that as well. So.
Okay, Community Development Director's comments.
I don't have anything else. I was going to bring up the tree item, but Ms. Winholtz and Ms. Bast brought it up for me, so I don't need to do that. So as you're aware, it won't be coming back now since we have resolution.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's nice when people can move. We can get people together and they can solve the problems, especially if we save some trees in the process.
Yeah, I think internally we felt that way. It was a good resolution to the issue. True. And you know.
Okay, anybody have anything else they want to add to this, or then we'll call it a night then. Okay, we'll adjourn to the next regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting at the Veterans Memorial Building at 209 Surf Street on October 15th. 2019 at 6 p.m. Thank you.
Last time, you talked about the November 5th meeting and are we going to do that here? I guess we could do that next meeting. But.
Yeah. Well, let's.